This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
All I'm saying is, as a society, we missed an opportunity to have the upside-down logo represent that your franchise is in distress.
Culturally,
now those hats are cool,
yeah.
As opposed to, listen, I like this team, and I know things are pretty messed up right now. I'm not happy about it.
It's the new paper bag over your head. Show up to a game with a jersey where the Sabre logo is rotated 90 degrees. You just have one ready to go, so if you're mad at them that day when you wake up, like, they lost yesterday, I'm going to wear the upside-down hat.
Here's our billion-dollar idea, Joe. There's a little thing in the back, and you can undo it and rotate it around and put it back on to represent every day how you feel about the team that you're wearing the hat for.
It's a billion-dollar idea.
We are. We shut down the stream. We're done. We're out of here. We're retiring on this idea now.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on Western New York Sports Giant, WGR Sports Radio 550.
You know, we've had the shorts report, which I assume all passing grades today, right? No, nobody's wearing shorts. What about the jacket report? You wearing a jacket today?
I shifted to a vest.
Okay, see,
like
I wasn't prepared for an immediate turn here to, is a vest a jacket? I did not wear a jacket. Didn't wear a jacket. Just a sweatshirt. It's fine out. It feels like today's 65. Don't quote me on that.
That's a little bit of a stretch.
That's my feels like. My feels like is it is 65 degrees outside. It is probably, what, 42? Something like that. I'm not even sure. It's probably something in the 40s. It's 90 degrees in this room right now, but it's 42 degrees
36.
Outside. 36?
That's what my phone says anyway.
36 degrees.
And the feels like?
65.
37.
How is that possible?
I don't know.
How does it feel colder than it is out? Again, this is just the reaction to it's been 5 degrees for 3 months, and now that it's anything warmer than that, it feels warmer than it actually is. Good morning. It is Jeremy and Joe here on a Thursday morning. The combine today, and today I believe we get workouts. Like, we get 40 times starting today and then into tomorrow and into Monday maybe is where it goes. So for the defensive linemen, the linebackers, and the kickers, do they have the kickers run the 40? Or the shuttle drill? They probably just kick field goals, right? Is that all they need to do? Maybe in kickoffs? Today is on-field workouts for defensive linemen and linebackers. And for on-field workouts, then you've got tomorrow, defensive backs and tight ends. Day after that, which will be Saturday, running backs, wide receivers, and wide out and wide receivers. And then on Sunday, you have offensive linemen. But today's the position that we've spent the most time on. We probably will spend the most time on until the NFL draft and the beginning of the season. I just wonder how much of today and all these days leading up to the end of April when they finally pick, how much of all of this is just thinking about Kansas City? Because I'm sensing that we've kind of gone away from that in the last month since the Bills lost in Arrowhead. Because the day after the the week after the season ended, for me, I know a lot of it was, hey, this is it. You're getting by everybody else except for Cincinnati, but they're not even in your hair right now. This is just them. It's just Kansas City. And maybe, I don't know, just the Philly game and what that did to psyches about this matchup and what you would do, you know, when if you played them again, what you would want to have different. The pass rush, of course, has immediately come up. Are we thinking specifically about what they do and how it relates to beating Kansas City still? Because I am still very much thinking that way. So when the defensive linemen run today, that's, for me, what it's about. It's the defensive linemen and learning more about these guys. Kenneth Grant, this monster from Michigan, who is probably going to be gone by the time the Bills get there, but maybe not. Maybe they would want to trade up. He said yesterday that he has met with the Bills, or he's met with Sean McDermott, spoken to Sean McDermott. So, you know, there's already some connection that's been made there between the two. He is, by the way, 6'3", 342 pounds. And by most of what I've read about him, he's an athlete. Like, he might be a guy that kind of wows today. NFC area scout on Kenneth Grant, 342 pounds, 6'3", defensive tackle from Michigan. NFC area scout, he was a little inconsistent on tape, but he's going to be a freaky tester, and guys with that size and those numbers are really hard to find. That's one scout on this Kenneth Grant, and he's only one of, you know, he's one of many. It's a deep class at the position. We'll start learning more and more about the names, and that'll happen today. And, you know, Chris Trapasso will be on the show and on the station. I know he was on yesterday with Shope and the Bulldog. Like, this is the finding out season about these guys. For me, that really officially begins today and then rolls through the next 2 months. But every player that I have a thought about or see becomes available. Yesterday it was Harold Landry, the defensive end from the Titans. If it's Miles Garrett, if it's not really hearing much about Max Crosby, I guess anymore. Any of these guys, it's going to be though about what does that do to help me beat Kansas City? I got one thing specifically now from the Eagles that shows me, hey, this is one way to do it, and we did it well. And I need to be able to beat them like that. I need to be able to beat them bad, because I'm not going to ever trust the Bills in a close game against Kansas City. What I would trust them in is a game where they win by a lot, like Philly just did. 803-0550 is the phone number. There's also quarterback news from around the league in the last couple of days. And I think this is a really hard offseason right now to predict on the quarterback front. Honestly. I mean, how many teams right now would it be fair to say you just don't have a clue what it's going to be? Or you don't have even a great guess? Yeah, you might have a guess, but the Jets right now, I don't know. Dan Leberfeld, Jets Whisperers, was on with Bulldog and Nate last week, and they asked him about quarterback, and the first name he said was a fifth-round rookie from last year, Jordan Travis. Like, oh, maybe that guy. What? That's the first name? Tyrod's been mentioned for the Jets. That's one team that just, okay, no clue. The Browns, that's probably a rookie, but actually I had a interesting trade idea for the Browns yesterday where they kind of offer the Rams the Goff trade. They just, hey, Rams, you want to make that same trade, but you want to reverse it? Do you want to be the team that takes on the bad quarterback contract? Goff ended up not being a bad quarterback contract. But do you want to take the bad quarterback contract and give us your starter and we'll give you extra draft compensation for it? Like, how bad of a deal does it sound for the Browns to send the third overall pick for Matt Stafford, but they also send Deshaun Watson? Is that that bad? Isn't that kind of the Goff trade in reverse? It's, hey, we're getting your starter, who's at an advanced age, so we're not going to be doing this for very long with him. But, hey, maybe they're trying to convince Myles Garrett. That seems to be what they're doing right now, trying to convince him to stay. Now, right now they're trying to do it with money. But Garrett has made it clear, I only want to be on a team that has a chance to win big. I want to be on a contender. So if you're the Browns, your way to convince Myles Garrett to stay and go Canton to Cleveland to Canton, as the GM said, the only way to do that is to prove to him that you've got an ability to contend this year. And the only way I feel like that happens if you're Cleveland, considering the quarterback opportunities available to you, that would be sellable to Garrett. Because you could sell him on Cam Ward, and maybe that would even work. Cam Ward, in year one, rookie quarterback out of Miami, just shows up and does the Jaden Daniels. He's just great right away. He does what CJ Stroud did 2 years ago. He's great right away. Is that going to be easy to sell Garrett on, though? Like, Stafford is proven and was good last year and almost beat the Eagles in the playoffs, throwing no-look passes. That one, though, again, like, that's a tough one because you've got to get the Rams to take the Watson contract. And the only way I bet they would even think about that is if you were willing to trade the third overall pick. So maybe that's, that idea right there is dead in the water on arrival. So that's two. Pittsburgh, you've got no idea. Is that Fields right now? But I don't know about Pittsburgh. So three. Indianapolis said yesterday that they plan to have an open competition between Anthony Richardson and an unnamed second quarterback. They don't even know who the other guy is yet. They just know, oh, whoever he is, he's going to be competing with Anthony Richardson. I still might want to bet that Richardson is the starting quarterback. How good is that competition going to be? You know, is that going to be bringing Gardner Minshew back? Or is that going to be Kirk Cousins, or somebody even higher level than that? I don't think there's a guy that competes with Richardson enough to where they wouldn't try that one more time. But, hey, I'll count that. They said open competition, and we don't even know who the other guy is right now. So I think it's fair to say right now you don't know who the Colts week one starter is. That's four. You could say the Titans are five with Will Levis. They have the first pick. They could just draft Cam Ward. They also could just draft Travis Hunter, and then are they signing Sam Darnold? Are they doing something else? Are they like a Russell Wilson team? Five teams you don't know the week one starter of sitting here today. Add the Raiders to that list. Okay, let me deviate from this for a moment to get to the Raiders, because I was thinking a lot about quarterbacks this morning, and the Raiders are one of them. Maybe the sixth team I would count here is not knowing who the week one starter is. Brady. Tom Brady. This supposed run-in in Montana. A ski resort in Montana that Ian Rappaport and plenty of other reporters detailed yesterday. Running into Matthew Stafford. Just happened to run into him on a ski resort in Montana. Okay, like, I think this is, I'm only half kidding when I say this. This is just Brady not knowing when he is stepping over the line, or not caring, or knowing willingly and just doing it anyway. That also is if there's going to be a timeline thing here that I wonder if the Rams make a stink of this. I kind of hope they do. Tom Brady. Here's a fact about Tom Brady for you that you can take to work today. Tom Brady has been involved in every first-round pick punishment that the NFL has ever handed down. There have only been three times in NFL history that I read that the league has punished a team by taking their first-round pick. All three times Tom Brady was involved, or was at least there. The first one was Spygate. That's his team. It's the Patriots. The second one is Deflategate, which he got suspended also for. And the third one is when the Miami Dolphins got themselves a first-round pick taken away because they tampered with Tom Brady in free agency. So, guy who's been involved in all of those, is the reason it's being reported the way it is because he got to Stafford before Stafford was given permission to talk to other teams? Because if that's true, the Rams could kind of make a deal of this, make a stink of it. Like, hey, this guy wants to leave, and before we had those discussions with him, before we gave him permission, this guy over here, who is the part owner and currently running another NFL franchise, just happened to meet with him, and now he wants to be traded. Huh. Let Tom Brady get in trouble again. Please let that happen. It'd be so great. And by the way, the reason I say that it's being reported weirdly is there was a rumor about it, and then, man, Tom Pelissero and Ian Rappaport so aggressively needing everyone to know that, oh no, it wasn't a big deal, guys. Rappaport. Tom Brady and Stafford ran into each other at a ski resort in Montana. The meeting, unplanned, sorry, we're already making sure everyone knows it was unplanned, was not extensive or in-depth and did not include Brady, quote, hosting or, quote, recruiting Stafford, despite reports saying otherwise. Right? I think the only reason Rappaport's putting those details, those specifics out there is because Brady or someone on Brady's team or the Raiders, whoever, is asking him or telling him that so they can get out ahead of it. Like, no, guys, we didn't do anything wrong here. Just make sure everyone knows we didn't do anything wrong. Don't look over here. Nothing fishy going on. I think something fishy happened there. So anyways, the Raiders, no clue. Six. It's a lot of teams. The Giants, seven. They are the team that I think wants Stafford the most. Will they beat the Raiders out for him? Will the Rams hold on to him? So seven. And then anyone else in the NFC? Minnesota. That's probably just J.J. McCarthy, though, right? But he's coming off a torn meniscus surgery that had a complication, so maybe there's an injury question there. And then Sam Darnold is probably gone, but is he for sure gone? Is there a bridge quarterback there? I'll count Minnesota. That's eight. Now I might be done. No, finally, the Rams. Nine. The Rams, there was all this Brady Stafford smoke yesterday. There's the Giants wanting Stafford, and a lot of the noise and the fact that there is so much, like these sports updates that we do in the mornings have been just like a daily Matthew Stafford report because he's kind of, you know, he's the number one most interesting figure, I think, in the offseason. Quarterbacks usually are. He's the best one that's available. All right, what's going on with Matt Stafford? Are they going to trade him? There was a story from Jordan Renan that covers the Giants for ESPN that there is a belief that he's just going to stay on the Rams. That this is just an exercise in, hey, go see what the market tells you you're worth and then come back to us and then we'll work out a deal. That is kind of what his implication was of what happens with Stafford, but I don't know. It's not unbelievable to think he's just going to get traded for how aggressive some of these teams seem to be, the Giants and the Raiders specifically, about getting him. And if they do that, The Rams and Darnold are the team that that's the match, right? That's the match. If they are going to move on from Stafford, why are they doing that? Because they still should think that they can contend. They almost beat the Eagles last year. The team that the Chiefs couldn't hang with, that the Commanders couldn't hang with in the playoffs, the team that ran through the regular season. Like the Rams almost beat them. That was a one-score game that came down to the very end in the snow, turning the ball over. Stafford throws for over 300 yards, and this is how close the Rams got. The Rams got the ball down to the 13-yard line with a minute 14 to go, down 6. They were 14 yards away from beating the Philadelphia Eagles on the road in the playoffs. Like, that team should believe they still got some gas left in the tank. But if they're going to trade Stafford, then they're not just going to draft a guy, I don't think. I think Darnold is the one that makes sense. Maybe that goes back to, just did McVay like him in the original draft process? And that he did just play in a McVay-style system. Kevin O'Connell comes from the Sean McVay tree. And playing in that environment in Minnesota might make McVay think, okay, he kind of already knows my offense. And he is, what, 10 years younger than Stafford is. So if they're going to move off of him, to me, that is Darnold. But that is, just went through the whole league. That's almost a third of the league where you can reasonably say today, I don't really know who their starting quarterback is week one. A third of the league. And tell me if I'm wrong, there are not enough dance partners. You know, there's too many, this offseason there might be too many chairs, not enough people to sit in them. 9 openings, and I've got Stafford, Darnold, I've got, you want to count Fields maybe as one of these guys, then you've got Cam Ward, you've got Shedeur Sanders, you've got, who's the other, Jackson Dart is the other one that I'm missing, right? I'll give you Jackson Dart, I'll give you Fields, and that's only 6. Basically, what I'm getting to here is there's going to be 3 or 4 guys starting beginning of the year that you don't really think of as a starter anymore. Oh, Rodgers. You should count Rodgers, right? Rodgers. Maybe there are enough spots for Rodgers. Maybe there are enough teams that are going to need quarterback, and there are not enough good ones to fill those spots because it's not a great draft class for it, and free agency is pretty thin if Darnold especially doesn't make it. That if I'm a team that has a guy like Darnold or Stafford, like I'm making sure I'm cashing out because I've got a market here. And if I'm Rodgers, you know, maybe I'm not retiring because I think there's enough teams that need a guy that I'm going to find one. 803-0550 is the phone number, the quarterback picture in the league, as that becomes a little bit more clear now that, you know, all the teams and reporters and meet league people are all together in Indy for the next couple of days. Workouts begin today with defensive linemen. 803-0550 is the phone number. We'll get back to the Bills, of course. Look at some of the contract situations that they have. We'll talk some hockey, though, and some golf next with Brian Koziel. Stay tuned for that. It's Jeremy and Joe. Open your phone calls at 803-0550 if you want to get in. This is WGR.